organized in that sense because I want to be home, I want to be here. So I've got a message I want to share with you this morning from Luke chapter 15, and this is a very well-known scripture. You've probably known this since you were in Sunday school. And some months ago, I was awakened in the early hours of the morning. I had a vision that God began to speak to me and said that people are going to begin to come home. And so this is a word for our church, and I believe for many churches, that when people come home and they've been away from God, how do we treat them? We love them and receive them. So I want to read a few verses here this morning that are very familiar, but it's good to read the Word of God. Amen. Luke 15, verse 11 says, "Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood." That's a pretty good father, right? Because most of us have to wait until our parents die, right? Why not give our kids some inheritance now? There's nothing wrong with that. But he wanted everything. Verse 13, "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with a prodigal living." There's the meaning of the word prodigal right there. What does it mean? What does prodigal mean? Who knows? Who's been in Sunday school? Jim. It tells us right there in that scripture. Prodigal means wasteful. Sometimes, you know, when we don't have to work for something, we don't appreciate it. Verse 14 says, "But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country and sent him to his fields to feed swine." That's a bit of a rough job to have to do. "And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no more longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you, Lord, for this story that tells us the heart of the Father, the heart of Father God. We pray, Lord, that you will help us to see what you are saying to us this day in Jesus' mighty name. The title of my message is "It's Time to Come Home." And thank you, Tammy, or whoever, for putting the outline in the bulletin. I noticed it was there. So thank you. It's a very simple outline if you want to follow it, the outline. And I think some of the scriptures are in the bulletin. Verse 20 says, "And he arose and came to his father. Well, when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." Most of us know this story since we were children. We're familiar with this story, but really what Jesus is addressing here as much as anything is the religious leaders. The fact is that Jesus attracted sinners. Sinners were drawn to Jesus. Do people who don't regularly go to church, are they attracted to us? Do they feel at home when they come here? Because the Pharisees repelled them. They couldn't understand Jesus because he wanted to go and dine with them. He wanted to go eat with them. He wanted to fellowship with sinners because of the love of God that was in his heart. So in this passage of Luke 15, there are three parables. You know, the first one was about the lost sheep. And we know that if you've ever been around sheep, they have a tendency to go astray. And so sheep need a shepherd. And so here, when he's talking about the shepherd and the sheep, Jesus is addressing directly the religious leaders. And I don't know if you know this, but the shepherd was responsible for each sheep. And of course, the example is 100 and, you know, one's gone astray. But I don't know if you know this, but if you do a little bit of research, the shepherd had to pay for that sheep. If he lost it and it was his fault, he had to pay for it, unless, of course, it had been killed by a predator or something like that. So that was why the shepherd would leave the sheep with another shepherd safe and go out and hunt down that lost sheep and find them. And so, you know, sometimes when we have responsibility, things change a little bit, right? And so then the next one is the lost coin in Luke 15, 8 to 10. In the Jewish tradition, when a girl married, she began to wear a headband of 10 silver coins to signify she was a wife. She didn't wear a ring. She had a headband with 10 silver coins on it. And what happened, guess what? She lost one of those coins. And so what did she do? What does the Bible tell us? She did. She lit a lamp and she went through the house until she found it. Because it was so important to her. And what happened was that both the sheep and the coin were out of place, which is really a story simply of the prodigal son. And so my message this morning is it's time to come home. When we get outside and we get lost, we've got to realize where we belong. We've got to realize there's a home. We've got to realize there's a place we can come where there's love and where there's affirmation and where we can put things right. Come on. Are you with me this morning? And like the Father, we rejoice when the sinner returns. When this wife, when she found the coin, what did she do? In Luke 15, verse 9, and when she found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which was lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner who repents." Glory! Do you understand? Do you feel what I feel this morning? There's no greater joy than when we see somebody come back to God. When we see somebody come back to the house of God, and they've been out and they've been wounded and somebody hurt them. But when we come back, there's a welcome and there's love and there's rejoicing in the house of God because they came home. So let's look this morning for a few moments at the son who totally lost his way. It says in verse 17, but when he came to himself. You know those times when we're quiet, those times when we just wait for God to speak to us, when we realize that God is saying something to us. We realize that we messed up. The Bible says when he came to himself, he realized where there was love. He realized where there was acceptance. When he came home, before he'd even got back to the house. He says in Luke 15, verse 20, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And he said, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. That's the father's heart. And I know I'm a father too, and I know that I'm not perfect. I know that I make mistakes, but there's love in our hearts to receive those who come home, those who realize they've been out there, they've been lost. And I believe that when something changes in the spirit realm, when something changes in us, they will know. And we look at it, at looking at them with judgment, like the Pharisees did. Are we praying they will come home? Are we praying that they will find a place of love and acceptance and forgiveness? I want us to look at three things this morning. That's my introduction. Sorry, it took a bit long. But I kind of wanted to paint the picture. Very simple outline: rebellion, repentance, and rejoicing. The thing about the prodigal son was he wanted everything now. He sort of had what I call an entitlement mentality. And I think that that is somewhat in our generation that's coming up. He wanted everything now. And I'm in favor of giving our children inheritance before we die. Why should we have to wait until we die? I believe we can bless our children while we're still living. Come on. Why not? I don't want my kids to have to wait until I die to get everything I've got. If I've got something spare and more, I want to give it to them now. So that's a father's heart. In Luke 15, verse 12, it says, Father, give me the portion of goods that may fall to me. So he divided them his livelihood. Wow. I mean, to be honest, he was totally selfish, wasn't he? He wasn't thinking about his dad. He wasn't thinking about his brother, right? He was thinking about himself. I know in our generation we had to get out and work and provide when we were very young. And I think sometimes young people today, for some reason or other, it takes them longer to grow up. But you know, when we get out and work for something, I think we appreciate it more. I just recently saw a movie of Beatrice Potter. I don't know if anybody's familiar with the Peter Rabbit series. Anybody ever see that? She was an English writer and wrote many, many books about Peter Rabbit. She grew up in what I would call English aristocracy. She was very wealthy home. And she spent a lot of time in her room in this huge mansion of a place where they lived. She actually died in 1943, so I was born in 44, so she died just before I was born. And what happened was her mother wanted her to stay home and, you know, marry somebody who was very rich and very wealthy. And I remember her saying to her mother in this movie, it's time for me to make my own way. And she'd gone to see an accountant to find out if she had enough money to buy a house. And she didn't realize that all over the world her books were selling, and she was a very wealthy woman. And she moved to Windermere, which is right up in the Lake District, and bought a farm and made her own way in life, even though everything was provided for her. She didn't need to work. And she would have married somebody who was very wealthy, but there was something inside of her that wanted to write and wanted to make her own way. And today, we have so many books, and I know Matthew and Suzanne, and some of you may be familiar, with a series of Peter Rabbit. Anybody ever seen them? It's a great series. There has to be a time in our lives where we feel the weight, where we feel the pain. And when she bought that beautiful farm in Windermere, the person who she was going to marry suddenly died, and here she was alone. I think she did marry 7 or 8 years later. But she knew what it was to provide. And so the prodigal son means wasteful. He had everything that he could ever possibly want. He had everything provided for him. And it says here in Luke 15, verse 14, but when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? It was at that point where his resources ran out. His friends left him, and here he was just left feeding the pigs. I don't think he felt very wealthy. I don't think he felt very good. This kind of life wasn't all that it was drummed up to be, right? Come on. There's only one way, and that's to get right with God. There's only one way for total fulfillment, and that is to put Jesus Christ first in our lives. John 8 and verse 34 says, whoever commits sin is a servant or a slave of sin. Sin promises freedom, but only brings slavery. He thought he would find himself, but he lost himself. And it's in that place where I come to the end of myself, when I come to the end of my resources, when I realize that God is still there. God hasn't gone anywhere. God is still there. And so my second point is, the first one was rebellion, the second, and I think we've all been a bit like that sometimes. We all, there are times in our lives when, honestly, we felt we knew better. Come on. I know the easiest way to learn is sometimes to just sit down and listen and take instruction. But sometimes we have to find out the hard way. Isn't that the truth? But when we do, we don't ever forget it. So number two is repentance. The Bible says he came to himself. Verse 17, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? Repentance means to change one's mind, means to have a change of thinking when you suddenly begin to see things in a totally different perspective. However much dad might tell you, or mom, or your Sunday school teacher, or whoever else, sometimes you just got to experience it for yourself. And that's exactly what happened as he was feeding the pigs. The Bible says when he came to himself, I want to tell you this morning, it's never too late. It's never too late. And I know you've messed up. I know some rough things have happened in your life. People have hurt you and people have wounded you. But I want to tell you, it's never, never too late with God. Because when Jesus died on the cross, he broke the power of the enemy so that we might go free. The Bible says when he came to himself. Wow, just look at that for a moment. How often are we quiet? How often are we still enough to hear God? Sometimes we have to go through some rough places before we come to that place. But we don't have to do that. We don't have to go that way. But knowing human nature, we do. Because we're stubborn, right? We want to do it our way. But the Bible says when he came to himself, what does he say in verse 18? I will arise and go to my father. I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Just to be around the house of God. Just to be around the people of God. I'm not looking for a place or a position. I just want to come home. Glory. He had a changed mind. The young man changed his mind about himself and about his situation. For the first time, maybe in his life, he admitted he was a sinner. And true repentance always involves the will, as well as the mind and the emotions. I think the biggest thing involved in finding God is my will. Three times he said in Luke 15, verse 18, he said, I will arise. In that same verse, he says, I will go. And verse 18 again, I will say. He made up his mind. His will was behind it. I'm going to go home. I'm going to admit to my father that I messed up. That I ran ahead of God. I didn't wait for God. I didn't stay quiet and still enough, long enough to hear God. I took my own actions. I made my own decisions. I made my own plans. But come on, this is the moment of our breakthrough when we realize that all that time God has been pursuing me. Because he loves me and because he's my father. It's not just a resolution. It's not just turning over a new leaf, because I want to tell you something, it won't work. There has to come a change in my heart, and there has to be a change in my will that I want to serve you, Lord, for the rest of my life. I want to tell you today, when there's true repentance, there is always total deliverance. I don't care what happened. However much the injustice was, whatever happened in your life, when there's true repentance, there is deliverance and there is healing in my life that I can get up and I can go on because I know God is with me and I know that I'm whole. But as long as I compromise, as long as I accommodate sin, we might as well call it sin, right? I'll never be free. There has to come a radical change of heart. And when there is total deliverance. There is total freedom to get up and serve him. It means that I fall in love with Jesus. Hallelujah. Because he's my Lord and he's my Savior. And I know because of life, and I've been through some pretty hard places myself, somebody hurt you. Somebody wounded you. And I know there was total injustice in that. But until you forgive them, you cannot be totally free. In true repentance, there is freedom. And I'm here today to tell you, as the founding pastor of this church, today you can be free. Today there is total freedom. But you have to choose which pathway you're going to take, because today is your day. Today you can be delivered, just like the prodigal son. He had no idea of the welcome that was awaiting him when he came home. He said, Dad, I just want to be a hired servant. Today you can be free by the power of God. Revelation 19 and verse 10 says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Because you found God at a certain point in your life, I want to tell you, from that moment you have a testimony. In a court of law, one of the most important things is a testimony. You cannot argue with an independent witness who saw what happened. And if you have a testimony to the power of God, then you have authority in that area over sin, and you can know what it is to be free. Glory. Hallelujah. I'd like to talk more about that, but another time maybe. But when you have a testimony, a legal precedent is set in the heavens. When you surrender to God and something happens in your life, you have a testimony that nobody can take with you because you were there when it happened. You were there when you had that angelic visitation, when the presence of God came into your life, when you were set free. Then you become a deliverer. You're not just the one that's, you know, needing to be delivered. From that moment, you become the deliverer because you have a testimony and the power of God has worked in your life in that area because God sets you free. We don't have to go on sinning. We don't have to go on living under that bondage. We can be free because the power of Jesus and the gospel works today. Number three, rejoicing, and I'm almost through. We see the Father's heart. I want to ask us a question in the church, and I know there's not many people here today, but why did we make it so difficult for the prodigal to come home? Why did we make it so difficult? Well, he's just a drunk, you know. Well, he's really messed up. Why did we make it so hard for the prodigal to come home? Because here we see the Father's heart. Jesus was addressing the religious leaders of the day. It says in verse 20, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to the servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Come on, this was not the moment to remind the son of everything bad that he had done, which would be easy to do. But the father's heart, he welcomed him. He loved him. He put a ring on his finger, and that ring in the Jewish history was a sign of sonship. When he put that ring on his finger, saying, I'm not interested in you being a servant. I'm welcoming you as a son. I'm welcoming you back home. The moment that we come to God, he is there to receive us. The Bible says in Ephesians 2 and verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. As a young man of the age of 23, I saw for the first time that Father God loved me as I was. And I knew from that moment I was free. I was free from trying to be something that I wasn't. I was free to be the person who God made me to be because He loved me unconditionally. And unless there is unconditional love, it doesn't really work. I have a brother who's homosexual and been married for 25 years. His name is Colin. I've told him so many times, Colin, I love you unconditionally. He says, John, I don't understand that. It's the supernatural power and love of God. It doesn't make any difference. It's the love of God. The only reason that we're here today is because of God's grace. Because of His great love, which He loved us. I want to tell you this morning, I will never be good enough. I will always miss the mark. I'll never quite make the standard. Even in writing a paper in Bible college, I very rarely get 100%. I might get an A, but I don't very often get 100%. But we'll never be good enough. It's only the love of God. It's only the grace of God. And the Pharisees and the scribes couldn't understand this. He says in Luke 15, verse 2, and the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. Amen. Glory. Jesus loved the sinner. He welcomed them. He ate with them. But when they got around Jesus, I'm going to tell you, they changed. There's a young lady in England that we met a couple of times. We've been home, and I mean, she had been a very foul-mouthed person of the world. And she got radically saved. And she went into the churches around Worcester where she was living. And they didn't really know what to do with her because she still had some bad language. But she was passionate for God. And when I was home taking care of my dad, and she come to the house, my brother was away, and sit around the table and we just talk, and you just pour out a heart. Every so often this bad language comes out. And she said to my wife and I, she said, you don't have any agenda, do you? We didn't try and straighten her out. We loved her. And we listened to her. Because she had way, way more passion than most people in church today. What are we going to do when the sinner comes home? The Lord spoke to me. He said, people are going to start to come home. What are we going to do when they come home? We're going to point the finger at them? Are we going to judge them like the Pharisees did? The father in the story with a picture of Father God, we know. It's time to come home. It's time to love them. It's time to welcome them. It's time to have a party. It's time to rejoice with them. I never forget some years back when our daughter came home. She'd been away from home for 7-8 years, and we never preached at her. We never tried to straighten her out. We just loved her. One night, I think it was the 16th of January or something. I don't know. One night, I got up in the early hours of the morning, and I could hear some talking, and my wife and her were talking. And I knew from that moment something had changed in the heavens. And I began to pray, and I began to intercede, and it went on for several weeks. But I want to tell you, when she came home, there was rejoicing. I remember her saying to her mom, she says, Mom, there's nothing in Glade Spring. She'd been living in Knoxville and Johnson City. The Bible says in Luke 15, verse 20, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. In the East, the tradition was that old men didn't run. Yet here the father ran to meet the son. He didn't wait for him. He saw him from a long way off and he ran to meet him. According to the Jewish law, because he had brought disgrace to the family, he should have been stoned. That was the law in Deuteronomy 21:18. But if a neighbor had stoned him, he'd have to hit the father first, because the father ran to meet him. So repentance means a change of heart. Repentance means, I think it's probably one of the best descriptions of repentance in the whole Bible, this story. Repentance means, from this moment I'm free. From this moment I don't have to carry that burden. I don't have to carry that weight. I don't have to carry that injustice in my life. Many of us have experienced that. Because when I repent, I understand Father's love. I understand Father's forgiveness. And here in his words in verse 18, Father, I've sinned against heaven. See, until we take responsibility, we'll never be free. Until we quit blaming somebody else, even despite the injustice, you have every reason maybe to blame them. But when I say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, make me one, like one of your hired servants, there has to come a change of heart. In other words, I'm just a servant. I'm nothing more than a servant. And it is in that spirit of humility that God wants you to know that you're a son. He wants to know that you're a daughter. It's no good unless there is repentance. It won't work. Because you can't just put a Band-Aid on it. And that's what we try and do, isn't it? And try and put a Band-Aid on it. I want to tell you something. A Band-Aid won't work, because underneath you have that terrible pain and injustice. There has to be repentance. There has to be a change of heart. And when Father God is there, there's forgiveness. Verse 22, but the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Everybody rejoiced. Everybody came in to have a party. Except who? And so Jesus here is referring to the religious people who didn't understand it, because it didn't fit their theology. It didn't fit their laws. And I want to say this morning, don't stand on the outside any longer. Come on in. It's time to have a party. It's time to rejoice. It's time to forgive. It's time to put the past behind us. Because I want to tell you something, it's a new day. Glory. It's a new day and it's a new beginning. My brother is just getting ready to celebrate his 50th wedding anniversary. That's a lot. He's younger than me and he's 2.5 years ahead of me. But in the year of Jubilee, what happened? The slaves were set free. They were free to go. If they had any debts, the debts were paid for. They were free. And God put those laws into place so there wouldn't be oppression. Amen. So the people would be free. So there wouldn't be a class system. That they would be able to live together and enjoy the life that God had given us. And today we can be free. So let's stand to our feet. Come on, and we're going to thank God today. And there may be somebody that God is speaking to today. You know, the Word of God always requires a response. I want you to step out of your seat. And as Jared leads us in this song, will you come forward? Will you just stand at the front and say, yes, Lord, today I want to be free. And you may know somebody that's out there that needs help. That has wandered away, that like that lost sheep. I want to ask you today, will you seek them out? Will you go get them? Will you bring them back into the house of God? Will you bring them back home? Because God spoke to me that the early hours of that morning, it's time to come home. He spoke to me, they're going to begin to come back to the house of God. They're going to be